I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today. Hey, you know it's Taz and
Moose. You know it's Taz and Moose. Hey. Yes, rolling right along. Hour number three, third and final hour with you. Coming to you live from the Quicken Loans Studios, National Mortgage Lender. Quicken Loans, apply, simply understand fully, and make sure to mortgage confidently. You've got Mikey B, Pete the Body across the way, other side at the controls. AB with your updates. Number to call, can't play a talk at 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227.
Attention hotline fans.
206 on Sirius and XM, Sirius XM app 206 as well. Hit us up on Twitter and Instagram, at Taz and the Moose, at Official Taz, 1C, at Mark Malusis with AC. And coming up at 8:25 a.m. Eastern time, we're going to head out to beautiful Cleveland, Ohio, and we're going to talk to Dustin Fox, host on 92.3 The Fan, Bull and Fox Show in Cleveland, and a four-year NFL vet, a former Ohio State Buckeye. We'll get his thoughts on the Cavaliers' victory last night, the Browns, Saquon Barkley. What will they do with the number one overall pick? And he's also a draft analyst, so we'll get his thoughts on next Thursday night's opening round of the NFL draft, Taz. So that's coming your way in about 20-plus minutes from now. But we kick off this hour, a couple things from last night, the NBA. And what a performance by LeBron James and the Cavaliers. Now, they hold on for the three-point victory. 100-97 was the final there. And LeBron with 46 points. He outscored in the first quarter the entire Indiana Pacer team. 46 for LeBron. He was utterly and completely fantastic. Still concerns about this Cavalier team, though, moving forward, Taz, because I don't think it's a good sign that you have LeBron score 46, and that is a game that's in the balance in the final 3.5 minutes.
Absolutely. You know, we touched on this earlier a good amount. And here's the deal, man. You know, I don't know what's the biggest story, that LeBron dropped 46 or that the Pacers were in this game all the way through and end up losing in the final buzzer by 3 points on the road in Cleveland. So this Pacer team led by Victor Oladipo will not go away. They have that chip on the shoulder mentality, that little engine that could attitude, and I feel like for me that's the bigger story here. What happens now? LeBron and his crew, the Cavs, got to go into Indiana and play the Pacers in their house. Thing is, man, can LeBron? He played like I used the terms earlier. I think it was nuclear heat, nuclear hot, whatever I said. It was something nuclear. Like he was on fire.
Yes,
where. He can't play like that all the time. I mean, he's great, but come on.
No, right.
46 points.
You're right. He can't play like that all
the
time. Right. You do need a little bit of help. And I don't know if this team's capable of giving it to him. I'm not so sure that they are. And I haven't thought in quite some time, Taz, and we had this discussion before the playoffs started saying, who are you going to take? I mean, you're going to take LeBron and the Cavs and above and beyond everything else after the Kyrie Irving injury for the Boston Celtics. I don't know if he'd say that right now. I don't know if I think for the first time in a while, you're going to see a different team come out of the Eastern Conference that does not have LeBron James as part of it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't feel they're going to beat Indiana. You do. You just don't think they're going to get it east. I think there's going to be upset city in this part of the gimmick here, and I think that the Pacers will defeat the Cavs in this whole thing here.
Yeah, but as that game went final last night, as the Cavaliers knocked off Indiana 100-97, a little memory lane.
Ah, the memories. Let's take a stroll down memory lane with Taz and the Moose.
I think LeBron's going to try and send a message and be utterly aggressive right from the jump.
Oh, I think so, because Bron's not used to having negative hype about his play and his ability.
I just felt like I was in a really good rhythm. Try to see how long I could stay in that zone and try to make a mark on the game early on, especially after the way we started the game one.
I think a lot of people would probably bet anything tonight on the Cavaliers winning because it's LeBron and it's Cavs.
Should I predict? Don't say the word breakfast. I predict the Pacers will lose by three tonight.
A close Pacers loss.
I'm staying on the fence.
Oladipo over the timeline. He'll step back. He'll fire a three at the buzzer. It's good. It doesn't matter. As the Cavaliers have claimed game two, your final score, Cavaliers 100, Pacers 97. There you go. You called it yesterday. 197 in the final.
I don't want to brag. I do nail things at times. I predict scores and victories, and I do this from time to time. I do this on the Taz show, my Rattler show, and I do this now with Taz and the Moose.
Yes.
With my partner, the Moose.
Nice 3-point victory.
You're
for
welcome.
The Cavaliers.
And Mikey B, I think we need to tell Mikey B, great job on the production of that.
Yes.
Great job. Mikey B.
Well
round
done.
Of applause.
Thank you. I appreciate
well
it.
Done.
Well
done.
Your game on that, kid. Did it just like I told you to.
Yes, there was a triple header last night. And so the Cavaliers even up their series, as does the Utah Jazz, who go into Oklahoma City and knock off the Thunder 102-95. Best player on the court was not Russell Westbrook, Taz, unfortunately for the Oklahoma City Thunder. Give Utah a lot of credit, just like as you're trying to get the vibe in the field that Indiana's a better team than Cleveland Cavaliers. I think Utah's been the better team through the first two games, and Donovan Mitchell, the rookie out of Louisville, was the best player on the court last night in Oak City as he finishes the game on 28 with 28 points. Doesn't hit a three-point shot and still scores 28 in the game as Utah holds off Oak City 102-95.
That's right. The story out of this game, to your point, Moose, with the Jazz, with the game itself, I should say, not just that the Jazz beat the Thunder, but it wasn't about Westbrook. It wasn't about Paul George. It wasn't about Melo. It was about Jazz, Donovan Mitchell. He played out of his mind. He played great. And like we were saying earlier, this kid's upside, this kid's future is ultra bright. He's a star now. He's going to be a big, big, shining star. He is the real deal. Plays his butt off. Just imagine if he had a little bit more, a little bit more resource around him. A little guys around him. Favors, Rubio played good. I'm just saying, he's one of those guys, those young stars that I think is going to be a massive, massive get for some team down the road if he doesn't stay with Utah his whole career.
Yeah, and then the other game was the Rockets knocking off the Minnesota Timberwolves 102-82, a dreadful basketball game.
Oh.
If you want to think about bad basketball, that's what you got last night. Two teams stagnant offensively. James Harden, who was brilliant in game one, giving you 40-plus points. James Harden last night for Houston was 2 of 18 from the floor, 1 of 10 from the three-point arc, as the Rockets attempted 52 threes. Think about that. 52 three-point shots in a game that they win by 20. They don't hit half of them, obviously. They hit 16 of 52, shoot a tad over 30% from behind the arc. Harden struggles. Tells you a little bit about Houston, and maybe I was wrong that they are just a stylish, out in front of you, outscore you type of team, because they got down and dirty last night, Taz, and they had to against the Minnesota team. They had to play some defense. They had to play physical. There was kind of a gut check type of a game because they could not throw the ball in the proverbial ocean.
The T-Wolves stunk last night. But the thing is, though,
game.
To your point about, I don't know if you said this earlier just now, about hard with these threes. Dude, he had, what did you say, 52 threes out of the
attempted
whole team?
By attempted by the Rockets. Correct.
He attempted 10 of them and sunk one free. 1 of 10. Yeah. I could do better than that. So could you.
Awful. I mean, I don't know if I could do 1 of 10 being guarded by a guy that's 6'5".
Ah, you go around them. It's easy.
Yeah.
Dip and dunk.
I don't know. I'd have to do
Dude,
one of those.
I've seen your first step. You got a pretty good step.
I appreciate it. Thank you, Tess. I appreciate that.
Pretty quick. I've seen you leave the vending machine area.
Yes.
How quick you move to the studio. What? Moose, we're up in 30 seconds.
Usually it's an orange or a granola bar that I bring.
Well, you're getting, you're very health conscious.
I'm not very health conscious.
No, I've seen this. I've seen you eat fruit on a regular basis. I'll tell you this much. Side note, you had an orange in here.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, this man had an orange in this room yesterday. Or was it the day before yesterday? It smelled, when he opened it, like the state of Florida. This was the most juicy. He said, "Tag, you want a piece of the orange?" I go, "Yeah."
It was a tremendously flavorful and fragrant orange.
Juice was pouring down my body.
It was almost like having a cup of orange juice. Freshly squeezed.
But different.
Yes.
Yeah, it really was. It was amazing, that orange. But I digress.
And then you get to the games tonight. I'm glad you enjoyed that orange.
It was unbelievable.
The games tonight. All right, let's go rapid fire here, right? Down in South Beach, Miami. First game of the night. You got a triple header tonight. 7 o'clock tip down in South Beach. Heat and 76ers. Joel Embiid is doubtful to play in the game tonight. Philadelphia coming off a loss. We know Dwayne Wade who went off for 28 in Game 2 in Philadelphia as the Heat were able to even up that series. Now 76ers, who had that 17-game winning streak, come to a halt, Taz. Now they go on the road down in Miami, a 1.5-point favorite. Who wins, Miami or Philly tonight?
I am going with the house at the Heat. I'm going to go with the 76ers. I believe in Simmons. It stinks that Embiid's not going to be back yet. We know he's frustrated with this. He's going to have to eventually, and it's not his fault. They're going to have to let him play. Put the mask on. Let this guy play. I understand the concussion protocol, and I know how dangerous or bad of an injury that is. But if there's a way he can play, they really need Embiid. But even without Embiid, I don't know. I believe in the Sixers. I feel this is a memory lane happening, a negative towards me, but I think the Sixers will beat the Heat.
Yeah, I'm going to take the 76ers as well. Bounce back ability. I don't think Wade can do it again. I don't love the Miami crowd down there as well. They're a little bit of a front runner. I think Philly bounces back in a big time way to take a 2-1 series lead. How about the Blazers losing the first two games on the road? At 9 o'clock tip tonight, on the road, New Orleans taking on the Pelicans. I don't know if Pelicans have been a better basketball team. I don't know if Portland, if they don't have their dynamic duo of Lillard and C.J. McCollum, if those two guys don't go out and give you 55-plus tonight, there's no way Portland could go out and beat New Orleans down in New Orleans.
No, I agree. I don't think it's happening.
The other night they scored 39.
I know. The real deal, for sure. Hot team. Yeah, no, I'm with you on that.
All right, and then you get to the late game, which is in San Antonio, right? Spurs and Warriors, and it's going to be an emotional scene the news came down yesterday that Greg Popovich's wife, they've married, I believe, for 4 decades.
Yes.
Passed away after a long illness. And so your thoughts and prayers are with Popovich and his family after their loss. And very, very sad news coming out of San Antonio, and a Spurs team that will be an emotional scene down there in San Antonio as they take on a Golden State team. No Kawhi Leonard, obviously, for San Antonio, Taz. And you look at the matchups on the court. I know it's going to be emotion. I know they're going to pry and certainly try and focus on the court. The Warriors are just, without Kawhi Leonard, are just so far superior to San Antonio, it's not even funny.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, something strange could happen here where somehow, some way, the Spurs, on behalf of their coach, emotion can
we've seen it before.
Emotion can do amazing thing for athletic performance, and obviously, I echo your thoughts towards Coach Pop's family and the loss of his wife. She was 67 years old. Horrible. But you know, you never know what happens here. I mean, I'm with you if you're looking at the numbers and you're looking at who's the better team. Yeah, obviously.
Yeah,
but you're right.
Sports are played with emotion.
Yeah,
so you never know.
You never know.
Maybe Golden State has a bad shooting night in San Antonio. San Antonio is able to find a way to win a game in the series and make it a 2-1 series. Did want to touch upon, just wanted to mention one thing before we head to the busy phones at 855-212-4CBS. Last night after the game, Ali LaForce asked LeBron James a question about Popovich, and LeBron gave you an emotional answer, and everyone jumped on Ali LaForce afterward for asking that question. Just so everyone, on the record, everyone knows, Ali LaForce told LeBron James she was going to ask that question before they went on the air.
Yeah,
so everybody that was criticizing Ali LaForce at the time, that he got broadsided with the question, that he did not know where to go because he hemmed and hawed a little bit, but it ultimately gave you a very emotional, a very honest, very open, and gave you a sense of the bond of in the NBA family. But Ali LaForce did tell LeBron James before they went, the cameras got turned on, that she was going to ask him about the passing of Greg Popovich's wife.
And one more thing I want to say about Ali LaForce. Ladies and gentlemen, let me explain something to you. Let me pull back the curtain for you. She's not going into business for herself asking that question. People in the truck, the executive producer, they are making that decision.
Yes.
They are telling her to ask that question. And you're right, Moose. She did not blindside LeBron with the question. He knew. And I will say this, okay? There's been a lot of buzz about this last night after the game, on TV, on the radio this morning. You and I, I'm glad we haven't really delved into it much, and I hope we don't delve into it any more than your commentary there and mine here, because I got to be honest with you. I was talking to Mikey B about this before the show and Pete the Body. You know, I got to tell you the truth. It shouldn't be about LeBron, Ali. This man's wife lost her life at 67 years old. That's right, what
there's
got to
be a little bit of respect.
Have some respect, right, for people. From
and
people.
Decorum,
exactly.
Right, for
Thank
people
you. That's
and,
my
what,
point.
And what they're going through.
It's not a
and,
news story, you know what I mean?
Right,
you know?
And even it, with it being a long illness, loss is loss. Death is, and saying goodbye. So you have to have the understanding and have a little decorum in terms of how that is all handled. But listen, Taz, I don't know if I need to see LeBron talk about it or Kevin
right,
Durant talk
right.
about it and get asked the question about it. I think there should be a case of, I get why the question is being asked. I just wanted to make sure that everyone knew out there that she's not, as you mentioned, she's given guidance.
Absolutely.
And she gave LeBron James a heads up that question was being asked.
Right.
She's not blindsiding LeBron James by asking a question and asking him a question after a win that he has no idea is coming.
Correct. And the only reason why the truck, as we would call it in TV business, the executive producer, is telling her to ask LeBron James, it's because it's LeBron James. It's a lowbrow thing. They shouldn't have done that, to be frank, because if the Pacers would have won the game, I promise you the executive producer wouldn't have had Ali ask Victor Oladipo.
He wouldn't have. Probably not.
He wouldn't have. And I understand that Pop and LeBron
know each other.
I understand that. But still, they wouldn't have done that. They wouldn't have.
No, they would not.
They wouldn't have.
They
so
would not.
That was a bad look by them.
Yeah, and as a basketball fan, as an NBA fan, I don't need to hear LeBron James being asked that question. Nor do I need to hear Kevin Durant being asked that question.
Right.
I don't. You have to give guys some time. It just happened. I don't need to hear every player's response.
Correct.
And talking about the loss of Greg Popovich's wife.
And she's doing her job again.
Yes,
to reiterate,
right.
She's told to ask that question.
If you think Ali LaForce is going rogue there.
That's not
and
happening.
Asking a question. That's not happening.
No way.
That is not happening. She's getting the A-OK. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227, your number to call. Coming up straight ahead, welcome in AB for an update. And we also got Dustin Fox is going to join us. 92.3 The Fan in Cleveland, Ohio. We'll talk all things Cleveland sports. LeBron, the Browns, what do they do with number one overall pick? His thoughts on the upcoming NFL draft as well. Taz and the Moose rolling right along. Big Thursday morning, CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
Bum, dun, 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 bum, bum, bum.
All right, CBS Sports Radio is toll-free line, 855-212-4227, brought to you by Geico. Hey, everyone, here's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Do you need homeowners, renters, or motorcycle insurance, too? Get it all right now at geico.com.
Yeah, that's right, Moose. Keegan, Daily Thought was short by me there. Keegan, hey, Northern Wisconsin, what's going on?
What's
You're
going on
Taz
on,
and the Moose here. What's going on, bud?
Not much, guys. I love the show. I'll get you for about 45 minutes on my way to work every morning. Love
thank
the energy.
You.
It helps me out.
Oh, awesome, thank you, bro. Keegan.
Thank you, man.
Yeah, no, I had a name. The first one that came to mind for me was Michael Strahan for the Monday Night Show.
Okay.
He's already part of that ABC, Disney, ESPN family. And, you know, as a Packer fan, I could not stand another former Dallas quarterback calling a game for me. You know, I get Aikman 7-8 times a year, and that's enough for me.
Yeah. Well, I don't blame you on that. I mean,
when is enough with Strahan?
Yeah,
though?
He's
Good
everywhere.
Morning America. He's doing the Academy Awards red carpet.
He's on one of the NFL Fox show.
He's pre-games. On Fox, right. He does Good Morning America. He does Fox pregame.
Howie Long sits there. It looks like he hates him. Howie doesn't even make eye contact with him. You ever notice that, Keegan? It looks like
that.
Howie Long can't. Next time you're watching that, watch Strahan sitting next to Howie Long. Two great defensive ends.
Yeah.
Watch Keegan. Make sure you watch Howie Long's face. He will not even look at Strahan. He don't like him.
Well, my guess is Howie's probably mad that Favre laid down for him, you know, in that 4.5 sack season.
That's good true. Point. Good point.
Good point right there.
Right, as everyone
Keegan
celebrated,
nailed it.
That ticked off every Packer lineman that day.
Forgot about to mention the guy, you know, we mentioned a while back.
Strahan celebrated.
Strahan, by the way, also the host of the Thursday night NFL pregame show.
That's
now
true.
On.
Is
right.
he really?
Yes.
That's right.
Is the rumor true that now they're trying to get Strahan to host with Moose and I on our special 8 p.m. Eastern? That's not true, right? The draft special? No.
No, that's
he's the, too big. He's booked. He can't do that.
He's booked.
Mark Strahan.
Right.
Speaking of Marks. Bruce Arians is a guy we didn't mention. That could be a good spot for this. We mentioned him a while back. He's in the running. He's a character guy. He's a good guy.
He
knows the
guy.
Game, obviously, from
right.
Head coach.
Yeah,
and,
you're right. He does have a personality.
Wears that little beanie?
He does.
On cameras
does
with the little
that.
Beanie, right?
Yeah, you're right. I've seen him do interviews, though. He's not as – he's a, seems to have a little bit more personality away from the camera than on the camera.
So he's one of those guys that's funny off camera.
Well, right. You know Rex Ryan?
Yeah, I know. I know.
Rex, was he better, did he come across better as the Jet and Bill head coach or doing it on ESPN?
Jet and Bill head coach.
Right.
Yeah, less is more with Rex Ryan.
Right, when he did that Monday night game last year with Beth Moe, he was terrible.
Yeah, no, he was. I did a while back a celebrity, Boomer had me and him and Carton when they were doing that thing at Yankee Stadium, a celebrity softball game, charity game. And Rex, we were in the same dugout, a bunch of people, and Rex Ryan was there. He was the biggest pain in the ass. Him and who's the chubby former governor? What's his name? The pants monster.
Chris Christie.
He wears his pants under his areola.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, under his areolas.
They were a pain in the butt?
They were annoying. Oh, shut up, you two chunky men. Be quiet.
Well, you know what's distracting about Ryan is the fake teeth.
Oh, yeah, he's got the, what do you call those, shingles?
No, he's, yeah,
no, what
he's
do you call it? Not shingles. What do you call it?
Veneers.
Shingles. I was close.
Veneers. Yeah. Right. That's what's a little distracting, like Parcells. Anyone that's older and they get these big fake teeth.
Yeah, it's kind of annoying.
It's a little distracting.
Yeah, the grill is shining, big white grill.
The teeth don't fit the mouth.
They don't fit the mouth. You want to just take a crowbar and crack them right in the teeth to knock them out. I know what you mean.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking.
I would never do that. I'm just saying sometimes that's the thoughts cross my mind.
We're going to talk to Dustin Fox, 92.3 The Fan in Cleveland here. First, an update. Here's AB.
Guys, James Harden took 18 shots in Game 2 with the T-Wolves last night. He missed 16 of them, but his Rockets still won rather easily.
Ariza drives the lane, goes right-hand corner. Gerald Green squeezes off a three. Got it! Gerald Green! 12 here in the second quarter. 16 in a row for Houston. And they lead 46-30.
Craig Ackerman, Rockets radio. Gerald Green hit four threes in the second quarter.
Houston, that's not our Ackerman.
No, this is his uncle. Houston outscored Minnesota 37-17 in that second quarter, then cruised to a 102-82 win and a 2-0 series lead. The Jazz and Thunder switching to Utah after a split in OKC. Westbrook, George, and Melo combined to miss all 14 fourth quarter shots they took, losing 102-95. Melo also missed on a post-game explanation.
I don't really have an answer to, you know, what happened or excuse of why we didn't make shots. And we just didn't make shots in that fourth quarter.
CBS Sports Radio's Mike Bisseglia reporting Melo just sucks. LeBron James scored 46 points last night, getting his Cavs even at one with the Pacers, 100-97. The Sixers upgrading Joel Embiid to doubtful for Game 3 in Miami tonight. He has missed 10 games so far with his concussion and broken orbital bone, but Embiid did clear the league's concussion protocol last week and has practiced the last two days.
Do you think Fultz feels bad about this? He's the one who headbutted him.
He should.
He really should. No. You don't think, dude, he's got to feel bad.
You think he feels bad?
He didn't do it on purpose. Like, you know, we saw the play, but I mean, God, he's got to feel a little bad.
Well, maybe a little bit, but then he's trying to focus on trying to play well.
No, it's friendly fire.
Right. Deep down, does he? I'm sure if you injure somebody, and that was not your intent, I'm sure.
Top
hopefully,
player. Top
if
guy.
You got a good bone in your body, you feel a little bit bad, no?
Yeah.
You're not completely self-absorbed and selfish.
Got to apologize. Broke the guy's face.
Guys, the Boston Red Sox continuing the best start in their history. They're 15-2 after a 9-0 triumph in Anaheim, and the San Jose Sharks into the second round of the NHL playoffs. They sweep the Ducks 2-1. They get Vegas in that next round, guys.
All right, thank you, AB. Let's hit the guest line right now. Let's welcome aboard Dustin Fox, host 92.3 The Fan in Cleveland, the Bull and Fox Show, former Ohio State Buckeye, four-year NFL vet. Hey, Dustin, Taz of the Moose with you, buddy. Thanks for a couple minutes this morning.
What's up, boys?
How you doing? All right.
What's up?
I'm good, man. It's snowing here in Ohio. Can this weather just go away?
It's horrible.
Oh,
it's disgusting.
Brutal.
I agree.
It's brutal.
It is terrible, Dustin. What do you read into the story that came out yesterday about Barkley and not wanting to be a Cleveland Brown?
All right, so let's just go through the story, right? So it was his agency. The report was that his agency had told him, right, that they didn't want him to go to Cleveland. They wanted him to be in a bigger market. Am I reading that story correctly?
Right.
Okay. So that makes sense, right? I mean, if you're representing Saquon Barkley, more endorsement opportunities, more exposure in a city like New York as opposed to Cleveland. So that makes sense. I do believe that Saquon probably said to them, "No, I'm good. Like, I'll go to Cleveland. I'll turn that franchise around. And obviously, the fans, when they heard that Saquon would do that, I mean, they get on board with it. They're like, all right, this dude is a, you know, blue-collar guy. He doesn't really care about those things. And even though his agency, which is, I believe, the Jay-Z group, right, the Rock Nation or whatever, even though they may have different ideas, I think he really is kind of against that. That's my take on it.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I don't know. I don't know what's going on behind the scenes, but if you're Barkley, you're wearing the barbershop hoodie with the Giants the other week, right? And maybe that's just here or there, right?
Sure.
You know, if you are, and I know, Dustin, you're an Ohio guy, went to Ohio State, work in Cleveland, but if you're an NFL player, you'd probably trust the Giants organization more so than the Browns about putting the proper support around you and being a consistent winner. And I don't think that's a big-time leap of faith. I think there's got to be a little bit more. I don't think an agency is doing something without having conversations with a player.
That's probably fair. Maybe they have had those conversations. I just don't know why this gets leaked. You know, like, what's the point of, like, how does this even get out?
You know, maybe, Dustin, we were talking about this earlier, Moose and I. We kind of feel that these things get leaked because said player wants them leaked, not just Barkley. You know how it is. These guys, that's their representation. And there's ways so a guy like Barkley, a kid like him, doesn't look like the heater. No disrespect to Cleveland or the Browns and all that stuff, but, you know, it's just, again, the New York Giant hoodie was one way definitely to see what a kid wants to play, you know?
That's fine. I just say this. He's not coming to Cleveland at once. He can wear all the hoodies he wants. He's not going to be a Brown.
Well, who is? Which quarterback do you think the Browns are going to grab? Who do you think it's going to be?
Man, if I had that, I'd play the lottery. I literally don't know. Like, I've gone back and forth on this for weeks. I wrote an article yesterday for The Athletic, and I said, I did a breakdown on Sam Darnold, and I said Sam Darnold should be the pick for the Browns at one. But that doesn't mean that that's what they're going to do. I just said that because I believe that Sam Darnold checks all the boxes, and there's the least amount of risk involved with a player like Darnold, even though I love Baker Mayfield. Like, if I was drafting, I'd draft Mayfield at one. But they're not going to do that, I don't think. I still think there's a chance they take Josh Allen at one, because John Dorsey seems to be, you know, this old-school football guy that is infatuated with size and arm strength and his hand size and all this stuff, all these little things that that Allen has that the other quarterbacks don't. So I don't think that anything would surprise me. And, guys, I don't think anyone's going to know until the Browns turn that card in on Thursday night.
Yeah, so you don't think – at this stage, you think they've made up their mind, right?
I think Dorsey has, but I don't think he's told anybody.
Would you be stunned if they didn't go with a quarterback?
Floored. Yes.
Floored. Stunned. Floored. I'm with you. I'd be laying on the floor next to you.
I'd be blown away. I don't even know what I would do. I think it would be the craziest thing ever.
Yeah.
You know, Taz, we've talked about Allen a lot, Dustin. I know you broke down his game film a little bit. What about the concern about Allen, which Taz and I have talked about a lot, is the completion percentage.
Yep.
Right to be concerned, or is the concern level a little off?
Well, I think you're right to be concerned if you care about stats and analytics at all, and probably should. If you're trying to pick a quarterback, you can go back and try and, you know, look at what quarterbacks have the highest success rate based off of their college stats and everything. And listen, the Browns take Allen at one, they're sort of ignoring the history of the position. But I would say this, if you put on some film of Josh Allen, you're going to see some things you like. And there's going to be some things that make you think this guy has the potential to be a franchise quarterback. But then, you know, five plays later, he makes you something like, oh, I like that.
Right.
But you can find that stuff for all these quarterbacks. They're all flawed in their own sort of way. But Allen, and I'll say this too, I think that there's been this, I don't want to call it like a smear campaign, but it's really easy to jump on this group think that Allen is just not going to be successful because this completion percentage thing. I mean, the fans who have never watched a snap of Josh Allen are like, well, this guy stinks. This guy can't. Like, how many games are Cleveland Browns fans or what have you fans watching of Wyoming? Probably not that many. And I'll be honest, I've watched a half dozen games. You know, I haven't watched every snap of him. I'm assuming the Browns have watched every snap of his college career going back to probably his JUCO days before he even got to Wyoming to make sure this guy has got some skills that they feel like they can work with. Obviously, some of the issues that he has that they can correct. So I wouldn't kill the move if they draft Josh Allen. It wouldn't be my first move, but I do think that fans have to, like, pump the brakes a little bit on this, and just because people are like, this guy's DeMarcus Russell. He's not Jamarcus Russell, okay? He's not. I mean, the guy got a 37 on his Wonderlic, and he's not Jamarcus Russell. He's a different person. He's a kid that is not going to get in trouble. Like, I don't know.
He's definitely got a lot of upside. I'm not a hater on Josh Allen. I've watched him play a good amount at Wyoming, and I think he's going to do really good things in the NFL. But let's shift gears, Dust.
Sure.
Let's talk Cavaliers. What's the deal, man? I mean, does LeBron have enough resources around him? We saw last night he scored about 7,000 points, right? And he basically did it all by himself. He went to the rack all alone every time, and I'm exaggerating, obviously. But do the Cavs have enough resources supporting cast around LeBron to win a series?
To win a series, yeah. To win a championship, probably not.
Right.
I'd be shocked if they... I wouldn't be shocked if they got to the finals, because LeBron is just that good. I mean, last night he was like, I'm just going to take this game over. And obviously, it was enough. Barely, in the end, because they just went
right.
3 points. But it was enough last night. And the Pacers are, I think, a better team than people want to give them credit for. And Oladipo has played out of his mind. But I'm concerned to the point where if some of these role players don't give something, because LeBron can't do that every night. Like, we knew, I said on my show yesterday, I said, if you're going to this game tonight, you're going to see Vince or LeBron. You're going to see a 45, I said this on the show, you're going to see 45 points from LeBron tonight, guaranteed. He scores 46. And, you know, he has 29 in the first half. The stat line was tremendous. He gets out to, I think it was 16-1 at one point. It was all 16 of LeBron's points in the first quarter. He can't do that every night. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's going to have to get some support. And Kevin Love has 15 points last night. He scored 9 in game 1. He's going to have to score 20, 25 points a game at some point in this series. And I do like what they went with Kyle Korver in the starting lineup last night. He played 30-something minutes, gives him 12 points, hit 4-3. So that's nice. But, like, Jordan Clarkson and Jeff Green, these dudes got to play. And if you're going to play 25 minutes plus and give you 2 to 6 points, that's not good enough. And when LeBron's off the court, you can't go on these stretches where you allow the Pacers or whoever you're playing to go on these, you know, 8-0 runs or whatever and get back in the game. The Cavs had a 16, 17-point lead at one point. And it gets down to 3. Then Oladipo has a shot with 25 seconds to go in the game to tie the game. I mean, that just can't happen.
Dustin, do you get – is there a sense, general vibe, you're there, that this is the last run for LeBron in Cleveland?
No, I don't know that I feel that way, because there's been so much talk about what LeBron's going to do, and the fact that they still have some assets here, and they have this Brooklyn pick, which, you know, we don't know what's going to be. I think if they have like a 2.5% chance of getting the number one overall pick with it, so it's slated to be like the 7th pick or whatever. I think that the Cavs will make some moves this offseason, and at least they have some flexibility to try and keep LeBron. And I don't know that he's going to, like, is he going to go to Philly? Is he going to go to L.A.? I don't know. I think it's like 55% he comes back to Cleveland right now. So that's kind of where I'm at. 55 to 60% Cleveland and then anywhere else. And I also think that it depends on how things go with this team this year. You know, do they get bounced against the Pacers in round one? Well, that changes things. But do they get to the finals again and you know, go against the Rockets or the Warriors or whoever it ends up being and give them a little bit of a run? Well, that changes things.
Well, I'm curious, Dustin, does everyone then make too much about the relationship and the importance of the relationship between Dan Gilbert and James?
Of course they do. They don't really talk. Like, they don't have to have a relationship for LeBron to be in Cleveland. LeBron is a businessman, and he is back playing ball, you know, 20 minutes from where he grew up. And his family's here. He's got this mansion off of I-77 in Bath, Ohio, that no one will ever buy. He's going to live there for. He's going to own that house forever. And he gets to play hoops just down the street. So there's something to be said for that. I just don't know that at this point in his career, he goes somewhere else. You know, when he came back the second time, he said he wanted to finish his career in Cleveland. So would he be going against his word? Maybe, but he also promised the championship, and he's got the championship, so I think he has an out if he'd like to leave Cleveland. But I still favor him returning to the Cavs next year.
All right, Dustin, we'll close it out here with the NFL draft and back to the Browns. You think they're going to go quarterback with the first overall pick, right?
Yep.
What do you think the goal of Dorsey with that fourth overall pick is? Do you think there's a guy that he's eyeballing with that fourth pick?
I mean, it's probably 2 or 3 guys that they have their eyes on. I would have my eyes all over Bradley Chubb, and just I'd turn that card in before they even start the clock. If you're on the clock at 4 and he's there, I would take Bradley Chubb. But it'll be interesting to see. There's a lot of rumblings here with Buffalo as to what are the Bills going to give up a king's ransom to try and trade up to that 4 spot for the Browns and to get themselves a quarterback. And so I'll tell you what, that would be fascinating, because if the Bills give up the 12th pick, the 22nd overall pick, which they also have, and a 2019 first rounder, boy, that's a haul. And for the Browns, they trade down to 12. And, you know, I don't know, maybe the Browns trade down to 12 and trade back up to 6 with the Colts or something crazy like that. I wouldn't put it past them.
I'm a Bills fan, and Dustin, yep. I would love that.
Yeah. Who do you want to take? I mean, who's your quarterback?
Are you going to
take Rosen?
No, I like Baker Mayfield. He's a winner. Yeah. But I also like, you know, I'm not crazy about Rosen. I'd rather Allen, that big strong arm up in Buffalo in the freezing cold, just like in the freezing cold in Cleveland.
Yeah, sure.
I'm not, Moose and I debate sometimes about the completion percentage thing, but it's a real number, obviously. But no, I like Baker. I know some people love him, some people hate him. He's a winner's winner, you know.
Yeah. So think about that, though. You're a Bills fan, and you're like, I want them to trade up to 4, and I'll take the fourth best quarterback or the third best quarterback, because that tells you something about this draft class.
Yeah.
I think that all these quarterbacks are good.
Yep.
Right.
That's right.
So
there's a lot of upside to all of them. You know, all of them.
Absolutely.
You know, even like Lamar Jackson, we're not talking about, or Mason Rudolph. Those guys are good players.
Mm-hmm. No doubt.
Hey, Dustin, we appreciate the time this morning, and enjoy the rest of your day, and we'll do it again real soon. All right, Dustin?
All right, fellas.
All right, buddy, take it.
Dustin Fox, host 93.3, The Fan in Cleveland, the Bull and Fox Show. Check it out there.
Yeah.
He does a good job, former Ohio State Buckeye, four-year NFL vet. So he would take Darnold number one overall, or he put it this way. He likes Mayfield.
Mm.
He doesn't think the Browns are taking Mayfield. He thinks the Browns probably are leaning Josh Allen right now.
Yeah, it's interesting. It changes all the time. I mean, for the longest time, you know, it was Sam Darnold, right?
Then it's going to change like 20 more times until next Thursday night. You and I are doing our draft show special. 8 p.m. to midnight.
Eating chicken, Palm Heroes, pizza. The catering, I heard, is crazy. Eric Spitz is getting the big boss here.
Yeah.
Big, big catering spread.
Right. Well,
he's cringing right now in his office. Well,
we mentioned about catering, and he turned to Biseglia and said, don't you owe them a breakfast?
No, he said, guys, Taz and the Moose, Eric said, if you're going to get pizza, I'll leave you the key to my office. You could keep it warm in my office.
Yeah.
His office is a freaking oven.
Yes, but he did reference the bet that Biseglia lost.
He did.
Thought maybe he could pay up on his meal during draft night special.
Via Mike.
What a great guy.
I want the sausage.
855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Rams Chiefs in Mexico City. Leftovers next. Taz and the Moose, CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Ah, yes, rolling right along here on this Thursday morning. Let's get to a little leftovers, shall we?
It's time now to dig into some leftovers with Taz and the Moose. The stories from today's rundown that we haven't talked about on the show.
All right, here we go.
All right, take it away.
Yesterday, we heard the tremendous comments by Eric Bledsoe regarding Terry Rozier.
Terry Rozier's gotten off to a strong start to the series. No turnovers in 78 minutes. How personally do you take that matchup?
Who?
Terry Rozier.
I don't even know who that is.
Now, there's a theory that was the response, because previously, Terry Rozier said this.
Giannis, he loves to push the ball. Drew Bledsoe, he loves to push the ball. You got Chris Middleton, who makes tough shots.
You buying the names grew up inspired the little rant?
That was great. Oh, my
maybe.
God. I don't know. I'm buying it. I think he called him Drew Bledsoe by accident.
And then saw the reaction from Eric Bledsoe and not knowing who Terry Rozier was.
This whole thing is just, I think it's great.
People have had to mess up on names all the time. But, yes, I think.
I never do. Me.
You're 100 for 100.
Never.
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 Always on target.
Never. Drew Bledsoe, tremendous.
I do believe that there's something to that. I would agree with that. Yes. Next.
Drew Bledsoe.
At the Mariners game, the Houston Astros tried toasted grasshoppers. Would you guys ever try that?
Wait, are you talking about eating it?
Yes, consuming it in their body.
Oh, hold on a second. Let me get this straight. Yeah, what game was this? The Astros. The Astros team did this.
Yes, Astros Mariners up in Seattle.
It's a delicacy there.
One of the things you can eat. Mike, excuse me, Moose. Mike, have you ever been to Seattle?
Grasshoppers.
You ever been to Seattle, Mike?
I have. Yes, twice.
Okay, I've been there about 10 times. I've actually made money there, sir. So please don't tell me where Seattle is.
I've spent money there.
Okay, I've made money there. Well said. So I don't understand. It's not. I've never seen this delicacy there. Moose, have you seen this delicacy?
I've never been to Seattle, but I've seen people eat toasted grasshoppers.
They drink coffee in the rain. That's what Seattle is.
Okay, then no, I guess I'll take their word for it.
Let's get back to, would you ever eat a toasted grasshopper?
Absolutely not.
I would. I'd try it.
It's a rodent. I mean, an insect. It's a grasshopper. Grasshoppers are terrifying looking. They're menacing looking insects.
I know, but it's not exactly like it's going to be staring at you when you consume it. It's toasted. I'm sure it's seasoned properly. I would try it. You would not? Mikey
no.
B, would you eat it?
Absolutely.
Pete the Body?
Hell no.
Okay.
Mikey so B, would you eat a Daddy Long Legs?
No,
Daddy Long Legs?
No.
You don't even know what that is.
It's the spider?
It's a spider with multiple legs.
Yeah, well, that's...
And it's his daddy.
Yeah, well...
Who's your daddy?
Yeah. How do we get on Daddy Long Legs?
Well, it's an insect.
It was odd.
Talking grasshoppers.
Toasted grasshoppers up in Seattle.
Show, damn it!
It's a delicacy. Well, you would never
eat
it.
I've never heard of this delicacy. I've been to Seattle multiple times.
I understand. Have you ever been to a Mariner game where they're serving toasted grasshoppers?
No, but I've been to... Where's the Mariners place?
Safeco.
I've done a little show there called WrestleMania, I believe.
I know you have.
And I've spent some time there.
Well, this is a new delicacy that's been introduced in the last year. You've obviously were not partaking when it was... They were not serving it when you were up there.
I've never heard of this. I don't believe, Mikey. I've never heard of this frickin' Dallas. They drink coffee and it pours, rains, and they're miserable. It's
right.
Very depressing city.
Nice.
But I love it there, personally.
Very glowing review of Seattle.
But that's but I love Seattle. Next!
I believe the economy there is booming.
Oh, yeah.
The Golden Knights, now, according to Vegas, co-favorites to win the Stanley Cup.
There you go.
To commit all in on them?
Sweep of the Los Angeles
Dude, I hope
Kings.
It happens.
Who are they favorites with, Nashville or Pittsburgh?
Nashville.
Yeah. Preds with a big victory 3-2 over the Lanch last night. It's a good win for the losers.
Well, it looks like, what are they going to play now? The Vegas is going to end up playing the Ducks? No, San Jose. The Sharks are winning, right? So they're going to play the Sharks.
Sharks are winning.
They're going to beat the Sharks.
So would you make Vegas the favorite?
I would. I think
I
Vegas
would make
is
them
riding
the
that trend. This is the first, what is that, some kind of a stat, like a franchise, a brand new franchise
first
in the
year.
Sport. First year, they're going.
It'd be unbelievable. They've had so much success. I don't know if I buy the favoritism, but I get the fact that they're playing great hockey right now, and Marc-Andre Fleury's playing great Nets.
Yeah. San Jose is going to do the job to them when they play.
Next.
Should the 76ers just let Embiid play tonight?
Yes.
Yes. I had to think about that.
Next!
For a second.
No, they should. They should. As long as he's safe. As long as he's. It's okay. Mikey's confused. He's like, my man, yes, he did that. Yes, quick.
Well,
okay, Mike?
No, he's okay. If he's, you get a little concerned, he's got to be medically cleared.
Well, of course he does. We know that.
But if he's not medically cleared,
then let him play.
No, I can't let him play.
You can't let him play. Put a mask on him. And then put a.
Then if something happens.
No, but that's what I mean. He's got to be safe. But I mean.
I'd like to see him play tonight. Me as a.
I'd love to see him play as a fan,
I'd love to see him play. It'd be great.
It's not happening, though, right?
No, it's probably not going to happen.
Not going to happen. Simmons got to
Mikey
pick
B,
it up.
A tremendous job as always. Yeah. Pete the Body, AB, everyone on the phones, Dustin Fox, 92.3, the fan in Cleveland. Make sure to check out the podcast, radio.com, tune in, iTunes, give us a rating each and every day. Taz, good stuff, brother.
The Moose, thank you, sir. Thank you to all our callers and our team.
Peace.
There's got to be a 10-second runoff here.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.